This live. All What's right. going on, everyone? This is my name is Jonah. I'm joined with Luca.
My name is Luca. This is Airball.
Airball. A new name created today, actually. Our show is a basketball talk show. I was looking at the WMFO slots, and I realized no one talks sports on here.
Really?
Well, maybe someone does, but not specifically basketball talk. And we do this in our spare time. This is one of our great passions. And, you know, I believe that it's worth it to talk about this on the radio. It's a pressing topic. And today's a big day for the NBA. We got the trade deadline taken down. And, you know, so it's perfect because we're going to have Shams and Woj spamming our phones this entire time. Yes. We have an unstructured day. We're just gonna say stuff and
yes.
Hopefully it works.
This is why we're calling it episode zero, because we're missing our lovely co-host today. We're missing Matthew. We're missing Owen, both due to classes. And we're missing Xander due to a birthday. Happy birthday to Xander.
Happy birthday, Xander.
As well. Just to remind you, you're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford Tufts, Freeform Radio. And I think just to get the ball rolling real quick, just to familiarize you with us, I guess let's just introduce, obviously favorite team, basketball team, why, and obviously why, favorite player, and why you love the game of basketball. I think some good introductions. I'm gonna hand it to you.
Yeah. So I'm a big Lakers fan. From day one.
Lakers.
Yeah. I'm from LA, so Lakers are my team. Lakers still own LA. As much as the Clippers fans want to believe that they do, yeah, they're the one seed right now, but we won the in-season tournament this year. We got more fake banners than they do anything, to be honest. I think we might have more fake banners than they have retired numbers, which is pretty depressing for them. So they can spend billions on their new arena, do whatever they want, but they're still not the Lakers. They never will be. So I sound insufferable right now. And in the future, Matthew and Xander are big Clippers fans, so I'm sure we'll go at it. But yeah, just prefacing that with my insufferable Lakers takes. Favorite player?
The player.
Man, Shea. I love the way that man plays basketball. And it's funny, as I just like complained about the Clippers, but yeah, no, they got rid of him. And now they're the one seed, and they could win the chip this year. Like, that's a very real possibility, but man, Shea's incredible.
You think they can win that?
Dude, I think they could. I still pick Denver. We can get into this later, but yeah, okay. I do believe in the Clippers and what they're doing. I think they have a good front office. I believe in Jerry West, man. I think that's like one of the Lakers' biggest blunders over the last 25 years. Just like having terrible relations with him, and I trust him as a basketball mind and just as a source of expertise and competence within an organization. And I feel like the Clippers, in terms of just knowledge as an organization, are now on the upswing.
Definitely.
That might be a long-term thing. They might be a legitimate franchise in 20 years. We'll see. But going back to Shea, I just love the way that man plays basketball. I just love... It's almost like a guard version of Paul George.
He's slippery. Guard version.
Let me readjust what I said. I mean, like, the way he drives, the way he attacks the ring, he plays a very different game, but he maintains that smoothness. And it's just incredible to watch. That's why I love him. What about you?
Okay. My favorite player of all time is J.R. Smith. Henny God. Mr. Clutch. Swish. I don't know. He just plays with freedom. He's a chucker, and they go in. Like,
yeah,
it's crazy. Most iconic celebration. I remember doing it in like elementary school, hitting the three, and then getting on one knee and hitting the, like, whip your arm around with the three, then hit the closer. Oh my God, it was my favorite. And obviously, yeah, JR, because of his time with the Knicks. That's when I fell in love. So yeah, I'm a Knicks fan.
Yeah.
From New York, from Manhattan, so obviously had no other choice. It's been a struggle, I'd say.
Yeah, but it's a good time, man. Wow. Like, this is like maybe the brightest you guys have looked in a long time.
Since the Melo days, this is definitely the best of times. The most joy I've had watching my team.
Yeah.
Which is I'm very grateful.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the sphere in some way has like an impact on like the Knicks karma, you know? Like, everyone now thinks James Dolan is like an innovative mind. You know, he built an LED circle, and now the Knicks are good.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something bigger at play here that we don't want to talk about.
I don't like the man. What's his name? Leon Rose.
Leon Rose?
I don't think he's it.
Yeah.
But it's okay. I mean, depends what happens in the playoffs, obviously.
Yeah. It also happens with, like, the Epstein allegations. I don't want to go right there, but, like, in a perfect world, maybe we don't go there. Hopefully James Dolan gets forcibly removed as owner of the Knicks. That's just a best case scenario. He gets Donald Sterling. Like, I think all Knicks fans would agree with that. He's a sleazeball. He's a slimy guy. So, like, I don't think it's like going on the radio and saying that James Dolan is a bad guy is like a crazy take. I think pretty much everyone who knows the sport and knows James Dolan would probably agree with that. I'm about to get censored.
Yeah, we don't like James Dolan. Remind you, no cursing on this show, obviously.
Indeed.
It's actually great to be in here with the sun out. I'm usually not.
Yeah.
It's great vibes. Hopefully y'all are enjoying a little funky jazz in the background. We're just figuring it out. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're doing it. All right. So, to go off of this Knicks talk, I want to get into a few things. The Knicks yesterday played against the Grizz. The Mem Grizz at home. Dropped them boys off. But I want to talk about a few players.
Absolutely.
That played in the game. Okay, what was the final score? Let me see what the
final score was. We got 123-113.
Mm-hmm.
DiVincenzo led the team in scoring.
This is the guy I want to talk about.
Yeah.
DiVincenzo is one of the most underrated players in the NBA, in my opinion. This man can play defense, get steals on steals, and this man's his three is automatic.
Mm.
And he has layup package, reverse, left hand, right hand, it don't matter. Giant Slayer on Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he could be. I think he's comparable, or let's see how the postseason goes. But I think he could be comparable, same conversation as a player like a Derek White, or like a Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero don't play defense, but
yeah, I mean,
who else? Like those type of guys. Those guys are central to a winning team, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he plays the two, right? Like he wouldn't. Yeah. I mean, he has to play the two if Brunson's on this team.
Because
in those playoff series where they're playing 40 minutes a game, he's gonna have to step up. But I don't know. I like that idea. Just like as a switchable team, like yeah, defensively, you guys are strong.
So strong.
And now with Anunoby, like that three problem is gone. Like that was an incredible trade for you guys. And that's one of those trades we talk about in retrospect, almost like the Shea PG trade, where. Like both sides had to make the trade and both sides won, and there's not really anything you can say about it. Like ideally that's how a trade should work. You should feel an emotional response when you lose a player that you like. I mean, obviously you guys tried to develop them quickly, like had a ton of potential, but he wasn't going to get touches on your team.
No,
and now look at him player. He's cooking, man. The other night, like which game was that? It was against I want to say against the Spurs, maybe. Spurs or Thunder. It was the Thunder game. Yeah, and that double overtime game against the Thunder, quickly was looking like the first option. You got Scotty Barnes on the weak side just, like, standing there meekly and quickly taking, like looking like, just doing size-ups. Like, he's playing 2K. Crazy. Like, that was, like, a little flash. It was like, wait, am I watching him or am I watching Tyrese Maxey? Mm.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I was saying that. I think quickly, in 2 years, is going to be where Maxey is now.
Mm.
Honestly, he was one of my favorite players, man. I miss him.
Yeah.
I miss him a lot. But yeah, I agree. Like, trades like the Tyrese for Sabonis trade.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, some people say that the Pacers fleeced them. Honestly, I don't think they did. I think it's very, very, it's worked out very well for each team. So that the Kings had... What, hadn't been to playoffs in, like, my lifetime,
14-something years.
I think more. I mean, I don't know. But
yeah,
like it was more. Insane. And then Sabonis brought him there.
Yeah.
All right, another player from this Grizzlies-Knicks game. I don't know if you know. Do you know this guy, G.G. Jackson?
No, who's G.G. Jackson?
G.G. Jackson.
Oh, that's such a tough name.
Sick name. G-G, just yeah. G.G.
The second. G.G. Jackson, too.
Yeah, he's a second? That's
the
crazy.
Second.
6'9". He's born in 04. I don't know when you're born. I'm older than him.
I'm like a year older than this dude.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm older than Wemby, which, like, that one blows my mind. Like, you know, this is, like, when I was a kid, I was like, I'm going to play in the NBA. Now I'm talking about him on the radio.
This is just what growing up is going to be like.
Yeah, this is just tampering your expectations, man.
He's crazy.
Oh.
But, yeah, I think... Wemby is, yeah, January something. So I'm younger than Wemby, but you 03?
Yeah, I'm an 03 baby. I think I'm like 2 weeks older than him or something.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but speaking of Wemby, like, people aren't talking about it enough because it's just the slog part of the NBA season where everyone kind of checks out a little bit. You know, football playoffs are happening, but like, Wemby's taking a step. Like, and I think this will become more pronounced by next season. I think the development that he needed to make as a rookie has already happened, and I think after the Spurs draft this year, they're not going to miss. They're the Spurs. They're going to draft the perfect point guard player for him. Mm. Next year, they're going to be a solid playoff team. Not a contender. They're going to be a second-round exit next year. Maybe like a seven. Whoa. I think they're going to push a team to seven in the first round by next season. Because I think that Wemby, in terms of raw defensive ability, is already like on Gobert's level. Like, I would have him as the cornerstone of a defensive championship team.
Oh, definitely.
Put him on that Thunder team, and they're going to win the chip. Like, I think that, like, people are already underrating him. Or maybe are just being too realistic. But there's these times where it's like, you've got a player who could legitimately be the GOAT. And I don't want to just throw this out there, but I kind of believe it in my gut. When I watch him, I see things, and I'm just like, what did I just witness? That doesn't happen to other players, man. Like, and he's doing it as a rookie, and he has just, like, not only does
everything look so easy.
Yeah, when he's taken, like, he's easily dunking from the free throw line, basically. Yeah. Like, a step in. He's doing Euro steps from that distance. And his arms are so long, it just teleports him to the rim. And it's just unbelievable. And he has touch, and he has the mental game, and he has leadership, and he's just, like, and he's on a good team. You know, so many players' careers can get messed up by being on the Hornets. I always think the Hornets and the Pistons. You get put there, you're in the
Wizards.
You got sent to the wall. You're done.
Yeah.
But he's on the Spurs. He's playing under Pop. That's good, an incredible thing. Great blessing for him.
Yeah, he's got averaging 20 points per game, 3 blocks a game, 3 assists. Pretty good. 1 steal, 10 rebounds. And that's 46% from the field and 30 from 3. 30 is not great from 3, but I mean, we're not expecting him to get that yet.
I mean, he's playing less minutes, though.
Yeah, 28 minutes a game. Not that much.
I mean, they're also still tanking.
Yeah, be careful. But they lost their last 5. So, but honestly, I think everything around him is just not there. Jeremy Sochan is one of the worst players in the league, I think.
You really think that? You don't...
He is just not... Okay, maybe not one of the worst players, but I think he has the worst or second worst plus-minus in the league behind Kyle Kuzma. I think Kyle Kuzma has the worst. He just, like, I don't know. I think he just doesn't have it figured out yet. I think he could be good, but I don't think him taking the ball up the court is going to be equal winning.
Definitely. I think Pop understood that. I think, and more importantly... I think the Spurs were tanking at the beginning of the season in a different way than you see a lot of teams tank. Like, for instance, last year when... last year the Mavs were tanking, but they, like, they got fined with it because they sat Luka for, like, the last few weeks of the season to get a better draft pick. And it paid off. They got Lively and all that. But you basically... When it comes to the Spurs, they tanked at the beginning of the season. They basically played bad lineups with players who were uncomfortable in their positions. Like, Pop is not an idiot. He played Sochan at the one to develop him. If you're a coach like Pop, you've been in the league for 25 years. Mm. You've seen it all. You know how player development works. If you believe in the talent of your players and the coachability of your players, you can play them at positions that they're not comfortable, and you trust that will make them better at their weaknesses. So they were losing, and he knew that. But that's good. Now you're... Yeah,
they're not trying to win.
Yeah, yeah. They're in the last... I mean, they're trying to play for another draft pick.
Yeah, they're last in the West.
Yeah.
Worst team in the league.
Put Trey Jones at the one, and the team already looks better. He knew that was an adjustment he could make from, like, day one. But now Sochan has had, like, an extra month of being a primary playmaker that he would never have. And maybe in 5 years, he can be, like, a Draymond-type player for Wemby, you know? Like, a four-type player. Like, elite defensive player who's, like, capable of being a supporting playmaker, you know? And maybe he doesn't develop that if he doesn't have that month at point guard. So I think you have to, like... I think it's important to just recognize, like, how development can look bad. But it's a thing you have to trust in the long term. If you don't trust in it, then you don't trust in your own players. Why'd you even draft him to begin with?
Wise words from Jonah. Hire this man, someone in the NBA.
Let me speak to the NBA people listening on the radio. Celtics front office. You know, Brad Stevens, if you're a Somerville resident, please come on the show. Like, I'm sure that you don't listen to WMFO.
Could be. 23 people listening right now to it.
Hey, that's pretty solid.
Damn.
What's up to all the people that are supporting the show? But yeah, I was trying to get an internship at the NBA this year. Like, I swear, So I'm studying international relations, and I feel like there's a lot of, like, interesting work that you can do, like, with the intersections of international relations and basketball. And there's, like, some Tufts graduates that are in the NBA. I saw them on LinkedIn. I was spamming them. That's the dream job, man. If I could work for the league, make the NBA, like, a better place, spread the game of basketball, that's great work.
If I could hand fresh towels to Kristaps Porzingis at TD Garden, that would be impeccable. That would be great.
Yeah, no, I just want to be a water boy for my whole life.
Oh, that would be incredible.
You know? Like that.
But that's me just for, like, honestly, it's for soccer. Like, if I was a ball boy for just a game or two or a season or 5 years, that would be so fun.
Maybe with the Apple Vision Pro you can get... Become a water boy. Like you give the water boy like an Apple Vision Pro of his own, and when this kid hands LeBron his towel, that's registered into the Apple Vision Pro, and then the consumers at home paying $80 a month for Water Boy Pro can give LeBron his towel and water look the boy king Pro. In the eye, you know? It's important,
that's,
man.
That's funny. That's funny. Yeah. Alright, speaking of the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, big things happening.
They just completed a little trade. You pull that up or no?
Let me pull this up.
I think it was Xavier Tillman from the Memphis, we've already talked about, for two second round picks. To be honest, that is a fleece and a half, in my opinion. I think Xavier's a pretty good, pretty solid player.
Yeah.
I remember him playing really well against the Lakers in that playoff series. You remember that?
Yeah, he was solid on AD. And in a way, like, trading for Tillman is a bet in... I mean, the Celtics have the best five-man lineup in the league. I mean, maybe outside of the Nuggets, but I think the Celtics is even better. But Al Horford is their sixth man. He's like 38 or whatever. As much as you want to trust in Al Horford's experience and ability, like, he's a great player... I think Brad Stevens understands that, like, at that age, anything can happen. Al Horford could randomly just get injured, and suddenly the Celtics are looking at a depth problem where when Porzingis comes off the court, who's coming on, you know? Like, you're not going to put Luke Kornet in a playoff series. You know, that's just not happening.
Maybe for, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, but, like, he's just going to be doing his Luke Kornet contest, you know, against Jokic in the finals. Nah, I don't think so. So I like this. I like this trade a lot. Because it really patches up that hole. The Celtics have infinite guard depth, but in terms of big depth, now they've just patched a hole that wasn't... The ship wasn't going down whatsoever. They're the one seed, you know, they're doing great, but it's a good thing that they're being proactive about their weaknesses, you know?
Yeah.
I think this might be their year.
I think that was their one main problem, was just the backup depth, and now they got it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're dangerous.
Dangerous.
Think could be Knicks. Knicks Celtics in the conference finals or whenever they meet. Yep. I don't know if the Knicks are beating them. So
I mean the Bucks. It all really depends on like how good the Knicks finish the regular season. Because I could see a world in which the Knicks and the Bucks don't even play in the second round. You know, and the Knicks have to go through the Celtics earlier on. And I don't know if they can do that, honestly, man. I think in the East the Celtics are almost a lock for the finals at this point. The Bucks are a hard team to gauge, mainly because they just fired their coach out of nowhere. Like, why would they do that? To me, that seemed like a ridiculous...
Did you see why?
Well, did the official reason come out?
I think it was honestly because he just lost the locker room and the players just weren't... He was, like, asking, like, players to do things that just was just not reasonable. Like, asking, like, Dame and Giannis to, like, sacrifice the ball or something. And you saw, like, the game after he got fired, they were doing, like, dance circles per game. They were, like, hitting the gritty and, like, going crazy. It was honestly so funny, but...
That's crazy. They're doing, like, the crab rave dance after their coach got fired.
Like, it was, like, high school. Like, it was hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I wonder how Adrian Griffin, like, feels now. Like, that's gotta sting, man.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, but he definitely knew it was coming. Like... Behind closed doors, these things always, like, are never surprises.
That was a really hard, to be honest, really hard job to take. It's your first year as a coach. You have obviously one of the best players in the league, and one of the maybe the future face of the league, Giannis. And you have Dame coming from a team where he's been his whole career, and a team with very high expectations, and fans expecting a chip. Yeah, that's rough, bro. That's rough.
But I don't think you can, like, write them off just because of their star power. I think they're such a dangerous team if they can put it all together. And I think, okay, both Giannis and Dame are going to have to change the way they play if they want to play well with each other. Giannis is going to have to become a screener, and I know he hates doing that, but if they want to, like, maximize their own potential as a team, they have to run pick and roll. They got to run pick and roll out at the logo, space in and out.
It would be deadly,
but they don't want to play like that. Like, Maybe it's one of those things where it's like they're intentionally, like, playing different ways, and kind of similar to the Spurs, where they're just, like, playing ways that will iron them out as a team of chemistry in the long term, because they could obviously just spam pick and roll like a 12-year-old playing 2K, but, like, they obviously want to, like, have a more sophisticated offense than that. But yeah, I mean, if the pick and roll is unguardable and you have good spacing that's hitting their shots, like, that's a dangerous team. I low-key would take them over the Celtics if they can figure that out. Mm. But we'll see. It's just hard. In the West, what are you thinking? West was a big shakeup last night. I mean, the standings, you got, like, four teams: Clippers, Nuggets, Timberwolves, Thunder. And they're all fighting for that one spot. They're all, like, within a game of each other. And then there's a bit of a gap between them and, I believe,
Sacramento.
Yeah, Sacramento, who's like five games down or something.
And then the Suns.
But like, who, in your opinion, who's like a pretender? Who's a contender in the West? Who could really take it all the way and beat Denver? Like, who? Yeah. Well, what do you make of it?
I think that the West is right. It's stacked right now. The fact that the Lakers are 9, and the Mavs at 8, Warriors not even in the play-in right now. Difficult, and I also think the Rockets are a good team. If they can get in the play-in, I think they could do something. They could probably beat the Jazz, they could beat the Pelicans. Honestly, I said this before the year started, that there was going to be a California team in the finals. And honestly, if the all the history of the Clippers should be telling me that they're gonna get out in the conference finals, but I don't know. I think they could go far. Thunder, honestly, maybe they could win a playoff series. That's probably the ceiling. Second round exit, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Timberwolves could lose in the first round.
I mean, okay, if the Timberwolves get the Lakers in the first round, I'm delusional here.
It's rough.
That's going 7. Yeah. That's just gonna go 7. Like, the Lakers are in a bad spot, and they did just lose Vanderbilt for, I want to say, a month, 6 weeks, which is a terrible loss. But I also think that people are going to write the Lakers off too quick, and the same thing happened last year, and we made the conference finals, beat the Warriors, beat the Grizzlies in the first round. I think, like, if we match up with the Timberwolves, it's a bad matchup, because of their interior defense, but I also just, like, I trust in having LeBron. Like, I think it's like
AD versus Cat, that would be really fun.
Yeah, it would be an incredible series, and I'm not saying that, like, we would sweep them. That would be a ridiculous statement. But I think it'll be it would be a war for sure. It wouldn't be like the Timberwolves just get rid of the Lakers because they're not good. And then the 9th
Ant is that guy, in my opinion.
Yeah,
he's got that mentality. Just dropped the shoe. Shoe kind of ugly, but it's okay. At least he's confident about it. No, Ant is that guy.
That's kind of tough. I kind of like the shoe. I think this colorway is horrible.
It's like orange, right?
For the viewers, it low-key looks like a pair of Jordans with, like, how do you even describe this shoe? It looks like something that, like, an alien would wear, to be honest. Like, if an alien was...
It looks like a Yeezy.
Yeah, a little bit. They're really... I'm kind of torn on them, man. I would wear these.
Like
I would wear these.
Too.
Beehive.
Honestly, if it was like all black or like all white, it could be cool.
Colorway wise, they did terrible. But maybe one day they'll figure it out. It's Adidas, man. You can't trust them to be good at shoes.
It's Adidas. I actually have Adidas basketball shoes. I have Dames.
Dames?
Yeah.
I've never heard of them. Yo, I'm pulling up to the court in my Dames.
I know. Neither have I. That's why I wanted them. Right?
Yeah.
They're different.
I've always been like a Kyrie PG wearer, but like in recent years, I haven't bought a pair of signature shoes. I've been wearing my tennis shoes on the basketball court, which is like a horrible sin. But I've been doing it, and Yeah, with a bit of shame, I guess. I'm just waiting for the Wembanyamas to come out, and then I'll buy them.
I call them Wet Banana, by the way.
Bro, imagine they released the Wembanyama shoes, but, like, only in size 20. Like, you had to buy it. And you could wear, like, insoles inside, so everyone's just walking around in, like, these massive shoes.
That's funny.
I think it would work. I think marketing-wise...
The Wet Banana. I call them Wet Banana, so the Wet Bananas. You have banana feet. Banana-type feet. Yeah, man, I gotta get you some Dame 8s, brother. Those are the top tier feats.
Yeah, the Dame 8s. Yeah, no, Dame, man, it's been a tough, like, people don't talk about off-court issues enough when it comes to Dame. This man's entire brand image fell apart in the last 4 months. Not only did he weasel his way out of Portland, which I'm not arguing that was the right decision for his career. He had to do it. But also his marriage fell apart. Some loyalty, bro. Like, and
that's
his ex-wife is suing him for being like an absent father. Like, so, like, he built an entire, for those who don't know about Dame, he built an entire brand image of loyalty. Like, I'm sure he has loyalty written on his shoes. He's probably got loyalty written like literally everywhere on his body. Like, that's like his thing. That's his brand image. And I guess this just reminds you that when these people. When these NBA players say anything about themselves in public, they are just lying. Like, everything is branding. And I'm sure that there's some guys that, like, are, like, who they present themselves to be. But most of them aren't. Most of them are just, so, like, don't...
I don't know. I bet it's, like, I know nothing about this man's situation.
Yeah, yeah.
I bet he was just like, all right, I'm getting traded to Milwaukee. You trying to come? Milwaukee? No, what's in Milwaukee? All right, get out of here, then. I'm going to go. Maybe, I think that's how it went. She just didn't want to go to Milwaukee, bro. Who wants to go to Milwaukee?
But then she hit him with a lawsuit. I don't want to blame anyone. Maybe we shouldn't talk about this because I'm not a lawyer, and it's kind of icky to talk about someone's personal business on the radio.
But she's digging for... She's digging for some gold.
All right. Let's change the topic. Yes. You want to talk about... I'm thinking about MVP discussions because I was reading this Reddit thread last night about Shea's realistic chance of winning MVP. I mean, at this point, Jokic is the front runner. But, well, now that Embiid is injured, which it was his award to lose and he lost it because he got injured.
Yeah. I think. Which is unfortunate. On his M butt. That's so bad.
Where's going with M-bizzle?
They get on his M-bizzle because he is injured all the time, which he cannot do anything about. And I bet he's like a lot of the time playing injured, and people just don't know, which I hate about NBA fans. It's always so annoying about him being this like, oh, if he sits out one game, oh, he's scared of Jokic.
Granted, man, I feel like if it comes to Embiid, like, consistently missing games in Denver, like, I think that deserves a bit of criticism. I'm not going to lie. They don't play each other in the playoffs. We get one night a year on each of their courts where they get to play each other. And if I don't want to say he's ducking. His body is his own. Like, it's a crazy thing to say he's ducking. But I also think, like, those are games where you got to play through injury just for the optics, especially if it's nationally televised. Like, you can't expect to have your MVP case intact if you're, like, not playing the other MVP because you have, like, whatever soreness. But then the flip side of that is this man is injured now, and everyone's going to, like, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't. Like, if you play through an injury for your MVP case, you get injured, and then people say, oh, you shouldn't have been playing for the MVP to begin with. But those same people were on television 3 months ago telling you that you had to win the MVP.
Yeah.
So it's, like, it's just unfortunate.
Interesting thing here. People say he's ducking Embiid. He's ducking Jokic. He's played Jokic in the past, since 2022, he's played him 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
In these 3 games, 41 points, 7 rebounds, 10 assists. 2023, 47 points, 18 rebounds. 2022, 34 points, 9 rebounds. He drops him off. Cooks Jokic, so I don't understand what people are saying.
I think they're always talking about him playing in Denver because he loves playing Jokic in Philadelphia. But then he doesn't play him in Denver.
Oh, yeah, that's why. All games have been at Philly.
Which, like, yeah, I'm sure that... It's also, like, I don't really care about his stat lines against Jokic. Like, that's just a fact. that Jokic is not the best defender. And if Embiid wants to do his, like, his strategy where he posts up in the mid-range and faces up to the basket and does 50 jab steps and then drops in the...
It goes in every time.
It goes in every time. I mean, I can't really argue with the way he plays the game, you know? Beautiful.
Who can guard Embiid in the league right now?
Giannis, probably. Like, yeah, guard maybe. Is like a like slow down reasonably.
Yeah.
Maybe Gobert. But no. I don't even think
he destroys him. AD, maybe.
AD, maybe like Jaren Jackson. Maybe Bam.
No. Who did the Sixers go out to in the playoffs last year?
Damn, who did they... Oh my god. It was the Celtics. Yeah. Remember they took the Celtics to seven.
Oh, I remember that.
And it was a series they should have won.
And who was guarding? Was it Horford guarding in
that? Damn. Well, because that's the thing. When Embiid gets into the playoffs, I don't doubt that he's injured. I bet he's always injured. Look how much weight he carries around and how he plays. Like, it's plausible that he's always injured. And I don't want to accuse them of lying. Although Sixers med staff is just terrible.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know, man. I think.
We're coming for the Sixers med staff.
The Sixers med staff need, like, they might be the biggest ops in, like, NBA history, bro. Like, Markel, no other team have drafted a promising young player. He gets a shoulder injury and then is seemingly unable to play basketball for, yeah, like, 3 years. I've never seen, like, I have to believe that's some type of negligence on the med staff. Like,
you know J. Cole shouting him out in a song, right?
Markel Fultz.
Yeah.
Really? What was the bar?
He was like, pray for my Markel, because they fucked up his shot. Excuse my language, I'm quoting J.
Markel didn't mess up his shot. The Sixers med staff did it to him.
Yeah.
It's messed up. Like, I mean, imagine, like, being, like, a 10-year-old Markel Fultz and being like, I'm going to come into the NBA, I'm going to get my money, I'm going to make my mom proud. But then you see, like, your timeline where it's like, I get, like, a crippling shoulder injury that's as a result of the Sixers' incompetence, and then I'm going to be unable to shoot a free throw and get publicly humiliated every single time I touch a basketball for years. And then end up as, like, a perpetual role player on the Magic, who they're considering trading. He's good.
But they just have a lot of other guards.
Bro, like, he's good, but when you just look at how he was touted coming into the league, like, it's just depressing.
He was drafted over... Who's he drafted over? Markel. Can't remember now.
Hey, but I love... I think a thing that me and Boston sports fans can connect over is hatred of the Sixers. Not that I have any particular reason, but... You know, maybe
me too.
Yeah, you're a Knicks fan. Of course you're going to hate him.
I don't really hate him.
But yeah, maybe I'm preaching to the choir a bit, just like complaining about the Sixers med staff. But just as a basketball fan, I feel like it's completely just unfortunate that they've messed up so many careers.
This is the most unfortunate Sixers fact. The Sixers in the 2017 draft took Markel Fultz number one. I'm going to just name you the players who went after Markel Fultz. Number two, Lonzo Ball. Injuries too, but still I think a better player, had a better career so far.
Yeah.
He was a killer on the Bulls.
For 3 months.
I was about to say, in the beginning of that season before he got injured. Number three, Jason Tatum. Imagine Jason Tatum and Joel Embiid on the same team. That would be, oh my goodness. You could just not stop it.
Who else was in that draft?
We have number five, De'Aaron Fox.
You know, that's one of those ones where, like, that's a hindsight thing. That no one was talking about Fox as a better player than Fultz.
He was on Kentucky. He was good.
He was good. I have a core memory of watching the tournament that year, and he was like, I remember him on a fast break, and it was like a distinctive, like, moment, because most people don't move like De'Aaron Fox. I don't think anyone does. Maybe John Wall. Maybe prime D. Rose.
Yeah.
But, like, you see that speed. You see a certain way someone moves, and you're like, that's just a hooper. Like, you just know.
He was selected in a pick that came from the Sixers.
Oh.
Isn't that crazy? That is
sad. The more you know.
Lauri Markkanen at seven. Who, I think... He's the face of the Jazz, obviously.
Yeah.
Could get traded, though. I feel like he's not, like, a sure piece there. Number 13, Donovan Mitchell. Number 14, Bam Adebayo. 22, Jarrett Allen. 30, Josh Hart. So lots of really good players.
Bro, I was one of my favorite basketball YouTube channels, Thinking Basketball. I don't know if you know him, but he did this like little breakdown of how the Celtics acquired Derek White. Which is ridiculous. I just want to walk the people through this trade path.
Oh, Derek White also. I said that.
Was he in that draft?
Yeah.
So, years ago, the Celtics traded Kemba Walker and a first-round pick to the Thunder for Moses Brown. One of those picks actually was Alperen Şengün. Funnily enough, that ended up that pick became Alperen Şengün.
Wait, the Celtics traded Kemba?
Yeah. The Celtics traded Kemba, traded him for Moses Brown.
Yeah.
And then Moses Brown became Josh Richardson, it was Al Horford and Moses Brown. Sorry, it's confusing. Moses Brown
transformed into.
Yeah, it's like Pokemon. Moses Brown and Al Horford. We traded Moses Brown to the Mavs for Josh Richardson, a draft pick, and Romeo Langford, who then they proceeded to trade for Derek White. So they basically just like traded a bunch of role players. They mixed around assets and ended up with Derek White.
That's impressive.
It makes a lot more sense to me as I'm looking at it, because I have like a whole flow chart of like what they've done. But Brad Stevens is a genius, man. Like I think like people need to recognize the amount of organization and money, like just money management that goes into making an NBA team function. And good teams have people who know how to make good decisions at the top. It all starts with ownership, though, man. Like, it's more like fine ownership is okay, that's all you need. But if you have bad ownership, it corrupts everything that goes below it. And this is true across every sport, I think. It's true with the Knicks, it's true with the Chargers. It's possibly going to be true with the Timberwolves in the future if their ownership is... I mean, they're going... That's a whole can of worms to get into, but...
Well, speaking of ownership and managing capital, it's about that time in the show where I have to read the mandatory PSA. So, this one is called Money in Your Future. If you want to have money in your future, don't rely on luck. Pay down your high-interest cards. For more free ideas on how to save, go to feedthepig.org. That is feed, F-E-E-D, the pig, .org. Alright.
Yeah, let me do the next one. I'm excited to read some ads.
We gotta do one every hour, so.
Every hour.
Yeah.
The more you know. I think we can do this for another hour. This is easy. this is like...
I just wish the boys were here. We could definitely...
100%.
...do this for another hour. But I think this is a great time.
So who's normally on at this time? Is this like a...
So this is, let's shout her out, actually. Give me a second. I think the show name is called Maria the Drum. What is it called?
Maria the Drum?
Oh, no. Joyce, sorry, Joyce the Voice.
That's so good.
Great name.
Good for Joyce.
Shout out to Joyce the Voice. I think she was doing, I don't know. I'm not going to blow up the spot, but she could not make it today, so we're going to have to thank her for this time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so in the future, I mean, we don't have a set time slot for the show, but we are looking to get one. But in the future, we'll probably just be jumping around. I'm probably going to make an Instagram account for the show. So
good idea, honestly.
Yeah, if you like the show, in the future, search up Airball WMFO.
Airball.
A bit of backstory on the name. We were trying to figure out a name for the show for a good, like, 2 weeks. I originally started with Jumbo Ball.
Jumbo.
Which was just not good. Like, that's just a bad... That's just not... It's just not good.
What was my favorite idea? I had a crazy idea. I think it was, like... It was playing off Medford Somerville. Mid-range Shotterville.
It's just, like...
I don't know if you had like that one.
I just don't think... It doesn't have a ring to it. And it's also confusing. Like, you have to, like, think about it for way too long. Like, I guess that maybe possibly works. But, like, then you're just like, nah.
No. It's an N1, but you missed the free throw. You feel me? But who can, my good friend Owen Swag, came up with the name. Oh, I'd also like to shout out my good friend Delano. Shout out to you. he is listening and while washing his dishes. So shout out to Lil. He said JT should have won number one that year. Should have.
Yeah, hindsight, man. I do think. Yeah, in retrospect. But like, we were also looking at Lonzo Ball through like this kaleidoscope of hype. If you go back to 2017, you got LeVar Ball going on ESPN every single day.
If
LeVar you got
wasn't
him going
his dad,
on.
He would not have been a lottery pick.
That's a take. That's a take.
That man put in the work for him. That is a great father right there.
100%.
That is.
I still think about this sometimes. Like, Lonzo Ball is his knee's not going to recover to where it was. But
have you seen it? Like, have you seen a picture of
it? Let me look it up, but I can imagine.
It doesn't look like a knee anymore. It looks like if you shaved off your knee like 5 times, and then you got your knee still there. It is poor. I saw it in like some like Instagram reel he made with his girlfriend. Like, he can't wear shorts anymore. Like, honestly.
Yeah.
We got to get that man some leggings or some baggy jeans or something. Yeah. Help that man's knees.
But yeah, like, imagine a future where we get like a little Chino Hills reunion in Charlotte. Maybe not in Charlotte. I don't want to see anything happen in Charlotte. I'd like Charlotte to relocate. I think they need a fresh start. Mm. Relocate him to Mexico City. Put him in Seattle. Put him in Saskatchewan. I don't know. Anywhere's better than Charlotte. Like
random on.
I don't know, man. They'd probably appreciate. Like, I don't feel. This is my biggest problem with American sports, that like an owner can really just like completely screw over a city. And you got like literal children who like love this team, and then the owner's like, well, the finances and the funding for a new stadium, I'm gonna extort this city for $2 billion, and if you don't pay it, bye. That's crazy to me. Like, it seems like a completely like predatory relationship between a team and a city that just shouldn't exist. Like, there's a lot of billionaires who want to own sports teams, and if you're too cheap to own one, you shouldn't own a team. You know? James Dolan's a weird case because he owns the most influential arena in the world and whatnot. So, like, he's like a special case. But, like, if you're the Thunder ownership group and you're extorting Oklahoma City, who just built you a new stadium, like, 20 years ago, so you would come there. Like, to me, that just seems messed up. You're like bribing all these Republican lawmakers under the table, trying to get them on. It's just like, it just really makes me like grossed out. And maybe this is like, I want to talk for a moment about like the almost what I see is like a moral degradation of the NBA, not in terms of the players, but in terms of the business that goes around it. You got the gambling going up. Yeah. I definitely think that's impacting the refereeing. I think that's like a really. Really? Like, potent force, man. You put money in sports and
wait,
it's never going out.
Wait, yeah. Keep talking about it. Yeah, that's a very interesting topic. I gotta get a charger. Keep talking.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna go on a little soliloquy. Like, 20 years ago when we had the whole Tim Donaghy reffing scandal, David Stern cracked down on a ring of officials for gambling on games. Including of which was Scott Foster, who would consistently make calls with Tim Donaghy during halftime shows. They had a very close working relationship, they said, whatever that means. I don't want to speculate. But guess who's still reffing NBA games? And guess what's legal? Scott Foster's reffing games. Gambling is legal. You got DraftKings Sportsbook written on the baskets. You got like J.J. Redick on the old man in the three being like... Well, before he talks about stats, he talks about the betting odds.
Yep.
That's gross, man. That shouldn't be the way it is. But it is now, you know?
Yeah. I've fallen into that trap, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, you're a gambler now.
Yeah, just lately, you know.
It's addictive. Like,
it's fun.
I went to a Lakers-Suns game. Lakers-Suns game over winter break. It was a pretty terrible game. It was one of those games where LeBron just wakes up and decides, I'm hungover, I don't want to play basketball. And... like, Brad Beal cooked. You know, it was a good... I got to witness, like, nice basketball being played by one team. It was a blowout, man. It was the first game I've ever been to where I just, like, wanted to leave the building. I just felt ashamed to be in there. And there was this horrible Suns fan just, like, laughing the whole time. And it was, like... like, I felt like I was, like watching, like, my, like, dog get kicked or something.
But I don't have a charger, so let's just we'll switch it. Let me take a break. But I think we kind of strayed off it with the gambling thing, but we were talking about Lonzo Ball. And I think it would be a great segue to close out the hour with a little segment I have planned here. In some crazy, goofy would you rathers presented by your host, Luke Zorich. So I got some here for Jonah. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Brace yourself.
I'm ready.
So we talk about Lonzo. Would you rather prime Lonzo with knees?
With knees.
With like cyborg, like knees. Sure knee. Like they're not going nowhere. Like they're gonna work for a good long time. He'll have a good long career. Prime Lonzo. Injury free Lonzo. Or prime jaw with counseling and PR training.
Okay.
What do you think?
Do we add like Zion with motivation? Or like Bol Bol with like motivation? I would take Ja. Honestly, because I think like people overestimated Lonzo Ball's ceiling, and I was one of those people. I defended the Lakers drafting him. But I don't think the injuries are what prevented him from being a superstar. I don't think he ever had that potential to begin with. I think he was always like had all-star potential, but he never had like franchise tag level potential, like NFL terms. Like,
yeah, okay.
He was never gonna have a ceiling like Jaw. Jaw with counseling, bro, that's crazy. That's like insane. Basically Jaw where he didn't get suspended this season, and the Grizzlies are in the playoffs now, and
no Instagram live, like Instagram deactivated, like purely like good game captions.
You know, I see a future where Jaw reforms. I really do believe it. I think the money is too great and the incentives are too great for him to just be an idiot for more of his career. And I'm gonna also say this. I also don't care that he flashed a gun on his story. I don't care.
It wasn't even his.
Like, wasn't even his wasn't gun. Even his. It wasn't even his story. Was it his story?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, it wasn't his story. You know.
Honestly, it just showed me that he is a shooter in all forms of life. You know,
except like, for like 3-point shooting, which is he shoots a bit below league average.
That's because he can just drive and get it every time. He doesn't have to shoot.
Yeah, but I think when it comes to like,
I mean, he does shoot, but
yeah.
Do you know how he got that shoulder injury?
How did he get his shoulder injury?
It wasn't related to the playing.
More off the court issues. How did he get his shoulder injury?
Let's investigate this.
I find the idea of players getting injured like off the court so like odd. Like when I woke up on Christmas morning to the news that Aaron Gordon had gotten mauled by his own dog, I was just like, damn, sucks.
Okay, it wasn't in game, but it was in a training session.
Ah.
So labrum tear. Yikes.
Yeah, he that season's a wash for him.
6 months without basketball activity.
Damn, I didn't even realize it was that serious.
Yeah, that's serious.
That's extremely unfortunate.
Alright, we'll move on though. We'll move on.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, you got some more hypotheticals. Yes.
We have Luca. Obviously one of my favorite players.
Your namesake, in fact. Spelled the same way and everything.
Same way. Luka Doncic with John Wall speed. So, no more of that just, like, trotting around, like, sulking, and, you know, because that man would just jog and still get to the basket, still, you know. So, yeah, Luka with John Wall speed, or Kyrie with Dame shooting.
That's not a question for me. I'm taking the Luka. But I think a more interesting alteration to the question, Luka with Steph Curry's motor.
Yeah.
Because, like, Luka's the type of guy where, like, he'll pull up in the first quarter. He wants to play basketball. He's ready.
First half, he'll drop 30.
Yeah, he'll drop 30. Easy could be 45. Like, and he just, like, laughs and, like, makes fun of you as he's, like single-handedly lowering the value of your franchise by hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
But if you give him Steph Curry's motor, like, that's, like, such a disgusting thing to think about. It's, like, Luka's conditioning problem just goes away, becomes a better defender, and then suddenly he's like not even moving off ball, but his on ball just becomes so much. It's like every moment is the first quarter, basically.
Yeah,
it's disgusting to think about.
Luka will like drop like 28-10-6 in the first half, and then come out with like a headband and like just start dishing and like take like 5 shots
at the half.
And yeah, I mean, just I totally agree. But think about it. Kyrie crossing up, bang bang through the legs, shimmy, sham god, and then being able to either go into the basket with his insane package, UPS, FedEx, all of them in one, his layup package, or just back up and just shoot the three, and it will always, from any range. He doesn't even have to dribble past anybody. He just shoot it right past the halfway line.
I feel like Kyrie's shooting, it's not as good as Dame's, but I also feel like it's not that far from it. Like, I feel like if I give Kyrie like a contested three, like he'll probably end up hitting it.
I think you're...
That's kind of delusional,
Dame is
actually.
One of the greats.
Dame is it's a different tier of shooting.
And clutch?
All right. So I'm looking at NBA Central right now. Twitter page.
Yeah.
Some random things happening. The Sixers are showing interest in Kelly Olynyk. I think everyone's showing interest in Kelly Olynyk. They see the hair. They see the way he carries himself and off the court.
Shout out to Kelly Olynyk. We need to remind you guys, Kelly Olynyk, we need to remind Luka Doncic, all the NBA players listening right now, that this is 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford Tufts, Freeform Radio. And this is Airball. Yes. You think Kelly's listening right now? I think he could be.
He probably is, man.
Probably.
He has deep ties to the Boston area, I assume. I just made that up. But, like, to anyone who knows Kelly Olynyk on a personal level, please reach out.